Welcome back. We're joined by Brian Babin. These days, he is a representative of the people of the 36th Congressional District of Texas. He is the chairman of the House Space Subcommittee on the Science and Space Committee, also a member of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. He has distinguished himself prior to these positions as a dentist in his native Houston. He is also an artilleryman in the airborne of the United States Army, now a veteran, also a reservist. He's a distinguished individual in every respect, in other words, and a man that we're always pleased to have here at Secure Freedom Radio. Congressman, welcome back. It's great to have you.
It's great to be back with you, Frank.
You have been really at the forefront, all the more remarkable for being a freshman, but of the effort to try to bring some sanity to the president's determined effort to bring people that cannot be vetted, notably from Syria and other parts of the world where we know problems exist and they may be coming with us, coming to us with them as well. Talk a little bit about your effort. You call it the Resettlement Accountability National Security Act. Where does that stand? And more to the point, where are we as a nation standing on these issues?
Well, I'm glad to talk about that because it's since I've spoken with you last, Frank, on the air, tons has happened, and none of it has been good when it comes to refugees. As you know, our own FBI director and our Homeland Security secretary say they can't possibly vet these people properly so that we can screen these ISIS infiltrators out of them. And then since that time, since we spoke, we've had the Paris attacks where almost 500 people were killed or wounded. We've had San Bernardino. One of those attackers was a native-born, but his wife came here on a fiancé visa. And then we've had two jihadis arrested, one in Houston in my own congressional district, who was planning on blowing up the Galleria shopping mall, one of the biggest, most well-known shopping malls in our area. And then also another one arrested in Sacramento. And so I think it's so serious. It's a national emergency, and I think this president that we have, rather than recognizing and identifying the enemy as radical Islam, just seems to be diddling around. And in fact, he went to a mosque the other day to double down on his defense of Islam. I'm sure there's plenty of good Muslims out there, but all these crimes, all these thousands of people who have been murdered, beheaded, blown up by suicide bombers, etc., are radical Islamic terrorists, and the president will not identify them as such. And he has no strategy to defeat them, it appears.
Congressman, you know, you mentioned this mosque business. One of the things that's particularly alarming to me is that we have plenty of evidence. In fact, as I understand it, the Secret Service and the FBI told the president that this is a jihadist mosque. So to have a guy like this telling us that, don't worry, we've got you covered, we're going to sort out the jihadists, not let them into the country, whether they're coming from Syria or Iraq or someplace else, does not exactly encourage confidence in his judgment or the process thereof.
Not at all. This man is—he's either naive or very foolish in his doubling down, especially his choice of mosques. I had heard the same information about that particular mosque, but this is why I think the American people are so concerned about their health and safety and their national security, and I think this is what's driving gun sales across the United States as well. You know, the American people, we're going to defend ourselves, and that's why we have the Second Amendment. But, you know, I think it's apparent when we look at what's happening in European cities, overrun with tens of thousands of Middle Eastern refugees who do not assimilate. They live by their own laws and rules, the Sharia, and show little regard for their home countries. I mean, you don't have to look any further than the New Year's Eve. There was almost 200 sexual assaults and rapes in Germany alone. And now Sweden is preparing to deport, I think, 70 or 80,000 of these refugees that have come in. Do we really want that inside the United States? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Now, let me ask you about your bill, Congressman Brian Babin. What is it you're trying to do with it, and where does it stand legislatively at the moment?
Well, right now we have 85 co-sponsors. And unfortunately, they're all there are no Democrats on there, all Republicans. And this bill, as you said, a while ago, it's called the Resettlement Accountability and National Security Act, or H.R. 3314, will push the pause button. It will stop the refugee program until the GAO does a fiscal assessment of just what it's costing the American taxpayer, and more importantly, an assessment of its national security implications and just the dangers that it poses to us when he wants to bring in tens of thousands of Syrian refugees, who, as I said a while ago, that we can't vet properly, and I think you said that as well.
Congressman, does it just apply to Syrians, or is it a broader application of a kind of moratorium?
This applies to Syrians, and we are tweaking this bill, as a matter of fact, to expand these geographical areas, because, my goodness, we see, I think we've had hundreds of Somalians in the United States have gone back to fight with ISIS, and so I think we need to expand this to several other areas, you know, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Somalia. There are several other countries. I'm sure you know them well, right?
You know, Congressman, my shorthand on this is stop importing jihadis. And I think that's something that Americans across the political spectrum can actually understand the necessity of. And your legislation seems like it's a step in the right direction. I wish you well in this. Let me turn to two other things quickly while we've got you. One is you are the subcommittee chairman of the Space Subcommittee in the House Science and Technology Committee. One of the things that we're very concerned about is China, Congressman, and the fact that the Chinese, as we've been talking about with Bill Gertz, are very much moving in the direction of space control capabilities, including a new space plane. As you look at what the U.S. is doing, civilian and military for that matter, I guess, but specifically what we're doing relative to the Chinese, how does it stack up? What should we be doing?
Well, we need to be very wary and be completely cognizant of what the Chinese are trying to do. You know, as they're building islands and taking over the South China Sea and bullying their neighbors, they're also burgeoning into the space, the realm of space. And from a military standpoint, that's very, very dangerous for the United States and for the Western nations. Because if we pull back from space, the Chinese will gladly fill those shoes. And from a military standpoint, it could be a disaster for the United States. And plus the fact, as we pull back from space, Russia and the EU will gladly fill it from a commercial standpoint. So as a subcommittee chairman of the Space Subcommittee, I think it's going to be incumbent upon us to ensure that we have a goal, a mission for what NASA wants to do, and make sure that it's realistic, that it's affordable, and that it is a sequential step. We can't just go out and rope an asteroid 1 week and a few weeks later try to set up a lunar base and then maybe think about going to Mars. We learned in our hearing this past week of the subcommittee that we just simply can't afford that, and that from the experts and the scientists that we heard from, that Mars may be a step too far. We can get people to Mars right now, but getting them back would be the problem because of radiation and some of the medical problems that occur when you're in a weightless environment. So we've got our work cut out for us, and we have to be realistic, and we have to make sure that we have a horizon of goals that we can attain. And attain an affordable map.
We're going to have to leave it at that, I'm afraid. I'd hope to ask you as a member of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee about the electric grid, which is a passion for both of us, I think, making sure that that is survivable. We've got an awful lot of work to do, as you say. Congressman Brian Babin, we appreciate what you do in that regard as the representative of the 36th Congressional District. We look forward to talking with you many times in the course of 2016. Sir, thank you very much for joining us today, and keep up the good work. Next up, retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel and defense budget expert Dakota Wood joins us to talk about the grievous underfunding of our defense capabilities by President Obama. That and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.